Well, good morning, sir. How are you doing today?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are y'all?
Well, we're doing just great. And what is your name, sir?
My name is Lewis Rodriguez.
Okay, hold one second, Mr. Rodriguez. And then we will get your hearing on the way today. Mr. Rodriguez, would you again state your name and ADC number for the record?
Lewis Anthony Rodriguez, 039687.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. You're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for your parole hearing, inasmuch as you have been certified by the Department of Corrections for a 412B411 hearing, that is to parole you to your next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. Is that your understanding? That's the reason you're appearing before the board today, sir?
Yes, sir.
And regardless of what the board does today, unless you get absolute discharge, you will not be going home today. But if the board sees fit, then you will move to your next consecutive sentence. And so I just want you to be aware of that, because this is the information that we show. I will point out the fact, before I do that, let me just introduce you to the board members. We have 5 board members present today, all the way on the other end, the left, the direction that I'm pointing. That is the Honorable Mr. Lee Kiwanis. Next to him, the Honorable Mr. David Neal. On the other side of myself is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. On her other side is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. And my name is C.T. Wright. I'm going to serve as your panel chair this morning. Sir, I'm just going to make just a very few statements, and then you can tell me if anything that I have is correct or incorrect. And also, please let me know if you cannot hear me, because sometimes our technical systems don't work well. So if you don't hear me coming through well, please just let me know, and we will try to adjust that. Now, according to information that I see here, and the information, by the way, that we receive is coming from the Department of Correction. We do not develop this information ourselves. It's presented to us, and then we have an opportunity to review it and to review your entire package. Based on what I can observe now, you're currently serving one sentence, and that is one offense, and that is sexual assault. And that is a 28-year sentence, and it had its beginning back on August the 30th, 1998, and then you will become parole eligible on October the 12th, 2018, which means that even if this board were to move you to your next consecutive sentence, it would not become effective until October 12th, 2018. And your SED date is listed as May 8th, 2019. So far, is that information correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
And then if you parole to your next consecutive sentence, that would be for kidnapping. And that one would also for 28 years, and it would have its beginning, according to what we have here, on April the 21st, 2018. You will become parole eligible on January 5th, 2038, and the SED date on that one is listed as July 2039. And then you have a final sentence, and that one would be for burglary, second degree, and that one is for 20 years, and that one would not have its beginning until July 8th, 2038, and it would end on November 25th, 2053. Of course, these numbers will change if you ever move to the next consecutive sentence. But where we stand today, that's the information that we have where you are today. Is any of that, from your perspective, incorrect, sir?
No, sir. It's all correct.
Okay, sir. I would acknowledge that we do have your Institution of Progress report. I want to commend you on a number of programs that you've taken, counseling that you have taken, and we're glad to take note of that. And I guess the one that that I'm going to start with, because I like to start with that one, especially with someone who's had some situations as relates to sexual abuse or something of that nature. I do know that you have taken a program in sexual offenders training. I think that's SOETP program. So how many programs or how many of those have you taken so far, sir?
I'm not sure.
Okay, but you do remember you've taken some, am I correct?
I do, yeah, I did take it in Winchester, yes, sir.
Okay, and I guess basically...
I got very ill and was hospitalized, had a serious operation, and I didn't take it again after that.
Okay, well, we're sorry to learn that you were that ill, but did you take enough of it for you to learn anything about your behavior at the time of the offense itself, or did you get that for before you became ill, sir?
Yeah, I learned a lot about myself, yes, sir.
Did you get along? I know that program, there are two or three parts to that program, and I know part of it is they talk about, you know, triggers that resulted in your behavior at the time of the offense. Did you get that far? Do you know what any that they suggest any of the triggers that you might have that may have resulted in your behavior at the time of the incident offense, sir?
Yes, sir.
And do you mind sharing some of those with us, sir?
Well, I think most of it had to do with abuse of alcohol and drugs and happy things that happened when I was younger, you know, making me pretty angry inside and wanting to strike out.
Okay. Now, let me just ask another question. I was not going there at this particular moment, but since you raised alcohol and drugs, I do take note that based on information that we have, back on January 16th of this year, you had a major ticket, that is, for possession of drug paraphernalia. Is that true or false, or they just made a mistake when they wrote that down, sir?
No, it's true. I did have a major for that.
So what was that about, sir? You knew that you was coming for the board, and you know that when you looking to go on parole or to your next consecutive sentence, that's something that the board is going to look at. So what kind of drugs, or what was going on there? I think it was drug paraphernalia that you had, sir. So what was going on there?
Well, I got found guilty of the ticket, but they found a syringe in the wheelchair that was issued to me. The wheelchair was in a public area, and I understand I was found guilty, but I'm claiming to this day that it wasn't my syringe, it was put in there, and that's all I can say about it. I think my record before that, for the prior 15 years before that, I had no DUAs, no drug-related charges, although I had a lot of them back in the days. I was a drug user. All I can say is that someone put that in the wheelchair and I got found guilty for it.
Okay. So you don't, that was not yours, the drug paraphernalia was not yours, and you don't know who might have put it in the wheelchair. Is that basically what you're telling the board, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sir. Well, we were not there, therefore, I'm going to have to accept what you're telling me on that particular one. I also take note that you have not, last time you came aboard this board, am I correct, would have been back in 1998. Is that the last time you appeared before this board, sir?
Yes, sir.
And at that time, that was November 1998, and that was for 412B, and at that time you refused to appear, and before then, in 1995, you came up for a special hearing, and you were not recommended to the governor at that point. I guess that was for a commutation phase two hearing, and at that point you was not recommended to the governor, but we're back now today to talk about 412B or 411. Now, as it relates to the offense itself, and I'm going to let you talk about it in just a few moments, I'm just going to make some general comments because you had an extensive record, as I have observed, based on the information that's presented to the board in the pre-sentence report, as well as information provided to the board by the Maricopa County Attorney's Office in a letter that they sent to the board dated April 16, 2018. And of course, they oppose your being moved to your next consecutive sentence. But we do want you to talk about, I said all that to say that based on information that I see as it relates to the offenses that we're talking about now, is that this started, I guess, back in November of 1979, you had a victim, you went to a victim's house, so they listed it as being victim A. Then in November 26, you were victim 2, and then December 8, 1979, you had another one, victim C, 1979 again, victim D, and then in December 21st, 1979, I guess that would have been victim E, and the final one would have been December 25, 1979, and they list that as being victim F. In other words, I think that you had about six victims that were listed. That could have been more, that could have been less, but based on the information that we see, we're looking at six. Now, I think one of the things that I did observe in reading through your report, and especially, I believe, in the pre-sentence report, you had stated something to effect, or it was stated, I don't know whether you stated or whether it came from somewhere else, but it was stated that you started off basically trying to burglarize these houses, and eventually it led to rape, and you were burglarizing them because you didn't have a job, and you needed money for drugs and so forth, and that's the reason, but it ended up with rape, sexual abuse, and kidnapping, and all these other charges that came up. So I guess at this point, I just want to pause at this point and see if we can go back to 1979, even before 79, I think, when you were in California before 79, you had also had some contact with law enforcement. But we want to go back to that period of time and tell us what was going on and what happened and what is true and what is not true, sir.
I was just a pretty troubled person. You know, I've had a lot of bad things happen in my life, and I didn't have very good skills with dealing with things. And you know, I was just pretty bad off, you know. And that resulted in me being like I was toward other people.
But you said things that had happened to you in your life. Can you share with the board what some of the things that might have happened in your life that would have resulted in your behavior, that type of behavior, sir?
Well, you know, my mom and dad are both dead now, and a lot of the people that were involved in my past are dead. You know, I don't want to, smear anybody, but I had a real bad childhood. I was abused a lot and passed around. And, you know, one institution to the next, and one family to the next, never really got established. My mom was, you know, a heroin addict. And my dad went to prison for killing a man, you know, and he was alcoholic, and there was a lot of abuse going on. So, yeah, I had a pretty bad childhood. I think, you know, I became a victimizer, but I believe I was a victim before that. I'm not blaming that for everything. I'm just trying to give you some understanding of why I did the things I did.
Now, sir, see if you could kind of let me understand or show me and tell me what really happened. Now, by no means do I condone what you did. I would condemn it from day one as a lawyer, as a citizen. But I can understand, I think, I don't approve of it. I can understand you committing these burglaries, but why did these burglaries lead eventually to sexual assaults and kidnapping and rape and all of those things? What happened there, sir? You said you needed some money. I mean, you don't get any money from raping somebody, taking out money somebody sexually. So what was going on, sir?
I think I just had a lot of real deep-rooted anger issues, you know. A need to feel like I was in control or something, because I've been had control taken from me, you know, most of my life. I can't get down to the deepest core of what's going on inside of me. I mean, I can look at it in the perspective of the programs that I've been through and my view of psychology, but you know. I just had a lot of bad issues going on. I made the wrong decisions. I made decisions that were, you know, very detrimental to other people, you know, and at that time, there was really nothing I could do about it. That was, you know, I guess, in many ways, I was a monster inside. You know, I'm a different person now, but I'm not getting out of prison. You know that, and I know that. You know, I'm just trying to let you understand, I guess, a little bit, but that's all I can say to you, sir.
Okay. Well, we know you're not getting out of prison today, but no, I'm not going to be as you are. I said that you'll never get out, but we know because today we're looking at whether you would be paroled to the next consecutive sentence. But what now, as you reflect, sir, and I think you already answered this, were you actually guilty of all of these offenses, sir, or was somebody you were guilty?
I was guilty of all of them, yeah.
So when did you internalize that you were guilty, sir? Was that from the beginning when you were arrested, or did it take some years later for you to understand that you were guilty, sir?
No, I knew I was guilty when I was arrested.
Okay. And
I knew I was guilty when I did the crime. Before I was arrested, I knew I was guilty.
Okay. Let me just ask two other questions. I'll go to other board members. Now, you admit that you knew that you were guilty, and I think you might have said, or you might not have said, that you were not the same person that you would have been when you committed these crimes. But as you look at life now, whether you get released sometime in the near future or sometime in the distant future, how do you feel have you made any progress? Do you feel that you could become, if that opportunity came to you, to become a productive citizen outside of the Department of Corrections, sir?
Productive in what way, sir?
Being just a regular citizen, being one who could interact without committing any crimes, or just being a citizen,
sir? I believe that I could interact without committing crimes, yes, sir.
So, you've already answered this one, but I just want to ask again. So, are you in a wheelchair now, sir?
I have to use a wheelchair sometimes, sir.
Okay. And medically, what's wrong with you? I mean, do you have some back situation or some...
I have five hernias. I weigh almost 300 pounds. I've got blood clot issues in my ankles. It's hard to get around sometimes. I do try to exercise still, but it's very difficult for me.
Okay, sir. Okay, well, I think at this time, I'm going to yield to other board members. I could ask some more questions, but you've been very helpful, and I really appreciate that, and you're responding to the questions that I raised, but we have four other board members, so I want to see if any of them might have any questions for you at this time. The Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. Mr. Rodriguez, I know the department moves its treatment around sometimes. It'll be at one unit, and then they'll move it out of there and put it somewhere else. Have you tried to pursue any more of the sex offender treatment? I know at one point it was at South, but I think they may have moved it over to Cook and Meadows.
It's still here at South.
Is it? Okay. And would you ever consider doing that, or are you eligible for that?
I am eligible for it. I don't feel that I need to go to the program anymore.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Dr.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Rittenhouse. Board members, any further questions for Mr. Rodriguez? Yes, sir. The Honorable Mr. Johnson.
So it's going through your bottom. I did hear you just tell Mr. Rittenhouse you didn't think you needed any more sexual classes in prison. But this incident with the sexual assault started as a juvenile. Is that right, in California?
Yes, sir.
And then it kind of just progressed on to continue to do the burglaries and continue to do the sexual assaults here in Arizona?
Yes, sir.
So
it was an ongoing thing. Yes, sir.
So, and I know Dr. Wright said that in the report. I did read that too. It said that it started out as burglaries and then you started committing the sexual assaults. And early on, when you were interviewed, you just basically said you didn't know why, that if you were just angry.
That's just, you know, what was told back then to the investigating officers and the psychologists and all that were just excuses, you know. The fact is that I had problems for most of my life when I was younger. I had abuse problems with regard to women. You know what I'm saying? I was just basically trying to make an excuse for why I did what I did, but there were things that were in me and I couldn't deal with them. I didn't know how to deal with them. And I did the things that I did.
Okay. So since you've been incarcerated, sir, have you had any psychological evaluations or...
I have, sir.
And has that helped you out?
Yes, it has.
So also, I see that you have had some arrests for drugs early on before you got incarcerated. Is that right?
Yes, I have a very serious drug abuse problem for most of my life. Yeah.
Okay, so are you still using drugs? I think it was it heroin?
Heroin, crystal meth, LSD, marijuana, I use all of it.
Okay. So, how have you changed to not be angry? I didn't really, maybe I may have missed it, but I didn't really see like any type. Did you take any anger management classes or anything since you've been incarcerated?
Yeah, I've taken a lot of different programs and classes, but what's changed me most is looking at myself internally and looking at myself in the eyes of God and just realizing a lot of things about myself and why I did things that I did. Really just dealing with it on my knees, you know, and bring myself before our Maker, you know. And that's the things that have made me have insight into myself and to understand myself more and to realize the things that I did and to not want to overdo them again.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to continue it with questioning, but in a few moments, we're not supposed to know this, but we're going to have a fire drill, so those of you who are on this side, you will exit that way, and the board members know why they should go, but we'll wait till the sign goes off. I don't know which way you go, so you go whichever way you want to go. I'm just kidding. I just want to put that on the record, and so if we interrupt, sir, you know why we're interrupting, because that won't be on your end, that will be on our end, Mr. Rodriguez. So, any further questions at this time, Mr. Rodriguez? Yes, the other one.
Just a very short one, because I recognize that most of the questions have been asked. Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes, sir.
My only question was that, and you had stated that the syringe wasn't yours, and I'm not going to push that, but that you had used drugs in the past in the correction
yes,
system. So, when did you quit, and what caused you to clean up?
Well, I lost my wife, a woman who was married to me behind drugs, and I really started hating the fact that I was using drugs at that time. That was 1991. But I actually went down a real bad trail again after that. In 2002, I had a spiritual experience that changed my mind a lot. I did use again in 2004. 2005, my sister died of a drug overdose, and that turned me completely against it. I've never used a drug since then.
Well, I certainly want to commend you for that, Mr. Rodriguez. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Any further questions by board members? Mr. Rodriguez, you indicated a few moments ago, and this is also found in your report, pre-sentence report, that you did have a wife, and I also believe in the pre-sentence report also showed that you had a couple of kids. Have you had any contact with them at all since you were incarcerated, sir?
I'm in contact with my son now. He's doing time in Santa Rita facility.
We're sorry to hear that. So have you heard from your other, was the other one a son or daughter? You had two kids, I think. Was the other one a son or daughter, sir?
I've never heard from my daughter in a long time.
Okay. And,
I have no idea where she's even at.
Okay. And your wife, you haven't heard from her at all as well, sir?
My first wife that I was married to when I came into prison, she's currently remarried, but she's in contact with my son, and she says hello to me through my son. but no, I don't have any direct contact with her at this time. My second wife I haven't seen since 1991.
That's it.
I heard from.
That's it.